The following is a presentation from the pulpit of Lancaster Baptist Church. For more audio and video content from our ministry, please visit lancasterbaptist.org.
False religion always proposes that we are almost complete in Christ. When you really think about it, the message of false religion always seems to say that you are almost complete in Christ. And so it goes something like this. Jesus is important, but the sacraments are also very important for salvation. Some would say, Jesus is important, but you must also be baptized in order to have salvation. And if you go right down the line, you'll find that false religion always proposes that we are almost complete in Christ, but not fully complete in Christ. But the Bible says in our scripture reading tonight, and you are complete in Him. And tonight we're going to find that our salvation and our spiritual standing is all about the finished work of Jesus Christ and that we are complete in Him. And in order to help us see the completeness of it, the wonder of it, then God's Holy Spirit in these verses gives to us three symbols of our completion, three symbols of God's complete love for us. Now we have symbols in the day in which we live, and one of those symbols would be a wedding band, and sometimes at the wedding, oh, I can almost get this off. Here we go. There we go. Wonderful. The ring shrunk a little since I got married, and so it's a little harder to get that off. But sometimes at a wedding ceremony, we'll hold that band, and we'll talk about this as a symbol of God's complete love, and we'll talk about His eternal love for us. And most people, when they get a wedding band, they don't get a half of a band and kind of clamp it on and hope it stays on. It's a complete band, and it is a symbol of our commitment to our wives and to our husbands in that case. And God gives us, in His Word tonight, some symbols. And one or two of them may be a little unfamiliar to our culture and vernacular concerning symbolism, but I think you'll see in these three symbols tonight the complete love of God and the complete redemption of Christ for you. The three symbols will be circumcision and baptism, and the third one will be a letter of debt that has been paid. And God gives us three illustrations to tell us how much He has loved us and how complete our salvation really is. And so concerning completeness in Christ, the first thing we're going to see tonight is that when someone is saved, they are given a completely new heart, a renewed heart in Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 11, the Bible says, "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Now, as already noted earlier in the study of Colossians, the Colossians had some heretical teachings that were abundant in their city and even affecting their church. They had a pagan philosophy combined with a Jewish legalism, something like the Judaizers who were told that Jesus was fine, but they needed to follow the laws of Moses in order to be saved. There were those at Colossae who similarly said that Jesus was okay, but you also needed to follow the ordinances of Judaism, including for the men this matter of circumcision as a part of their salvation. This was what they were being told. And so in this particular passage, Paul is confronting that erroneous teaching because circumcision, even in the Old Testament, was never given to bring salvation. Those of you who've studied it know that it was a symbol that God gave to Abraham. It was a symbol that was of the covenant with Abraham, showing that the children of Abraham would be God's children. It was an outward covenant that was made. It was a sign of God's relationship. It was a covenant, a symbol of the covenant that God had made with Abraham. If you have a Bible tonight, if you turn to Romans chapter 4, I'd like to just touch on this as far as a cross-reference is concerned. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 11. The Bible is very clear that we are renewed from the heart by the grace of God, not by the works of the flesh, not by the works of the law. And the Bible says in Romans 4:11, speaking of Abraham, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And so Abraham and the children of Israel had an outward symbol concerning their relationship with God, but Abraham then became, according to Romans 4:11, a spiritual father even of those not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed unto them, unto the Gentiles also. And so what we're learning tonight is the fact that salvation is about a spiritual cleansing. It's not necessarily about a physical circumcision of the flesh, but of the heart. And that is the teaching. It is a spiritual cleansing. The Bible says in verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision. Please notice this, verse 11, made. What are the next two words? Say them, please. Without hands. Now, without becoming graphic, unnecessarily so, when we think about the human situation, that is a surgical procedure done with the hands of a physician. But we have a circumcision without hands. And that is to say that when someone gets saved, it is the Holy Spirit regenerating their heart from the inside out. And the mark, if you will, of God's ownership on me and on you is not made with the hands of man, but it is made by the Spirit of God. And so it's a spiritual cleansing that the Apostle Paul is speaking about. And we are delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ. Circumcision was a ritualistic practice that God had given to Abraham, and it was an outward physical surgery that was a symbol of their separation unto God. Israel was set apart from all other nations, a people that were God's apple of God's eye. And this was a symbol of that. Deuteronomy 10:16 says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. And so the reference in this passage in Colossians is that through Christ we have been separated from the Adamic sin nature, and that we have a circumcision without hands, setting us free from the bondage of sin and giving us a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that happened when you were saved, and it happened without hands, and it happened without man's help. It was all by the work of God that we were set apart. Now turn, please, also to Romans chapter 2 and verse 27. Romans chapter 2 and verse 27, because I think sometimes when we do as this church does, we preach through the verses of the Bible, verse by verse. We don't pick and choose our favorite ones. So tonight, we're just coming right through a verse that maybe you read in your Bible reading, and you might go, what's this all about? So let's just quickly get what it's all about. Romans 2:27 says, and shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So there were those who were lifting themselves up. Their praise was in the praise of men, and their praise was in the outward performance of the skills of men, if you will. But the Bible says that the circumcision of the heart is a work, verse 29, of the Spirit. It's not about the letter of the law. It's about the Spirit of God saving us. So our praise is not in our culture. It's not in Judaism. It's not in the Old Testament law. Our praise and our thanks is to the one who saved us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And how we thank God for that tonight. And so it is a heart deliverance. It is a circumcision made without hands. There was a man on his hospital bed, and he had talked to his cardiologist. The doctor was there, and he said, doctor, can you fix my heart? And 12 hours later, they had gone through a tremendous surgery, and the man's heart was functioning very, very well. And the patient's wife said to the doctor, she said, what about my husband's future quality of life? And the doctor looked at the lady and he said, ma'am, I fixed his heart. The quality of life is up to him. And I want you to understand something. When you got saved, God fixed your heart. He saved you. He did a spiritual surgery from the inside out. Now, what we do with God's gift to us is another question. How we live for Him is another question. But He has given us a spiritual cleansing, and He has given us a Holy Spirit sealing. For the Bible says in Ephesians 1:13, in whom also ye trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And so when a man is saved, then his heart is changed by the Holy Spirit, and his heart is sealed by the Holy Spirit. And so there is a spiritual cleansing, but there is also a spiritual renewal the Bible speaks about in verse 11. It says, in whom also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now notice here the phrase, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. This refers to the sinful, fallen life of someone totally dominated by sin before their salvation. And here we see that a man without Christ has no hope of winning the battle against sin. He is under the dominance of sin. He is under the dominance of Satan. And yet he has now been circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, which means he's no longer under the bondage of the devil. He's no longer under the power of this world and this old nature, but he is set free now by the cross and by the work of the Holy Spirit. He's been renewed in his heart. Now he belongs to Jesus. Now he is not subject to the law. Now he's not subject to the guilt and failure of the law, but now he has the freedom of the Holy Spirit to do that which is right. So look at Romans 6 once again. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So when a man is saved, God gives him forgiveness, his heart is renewed by the work without hands, and he is free to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a spiritual cleansing, he has a spiritual renewal. If you would, and I know we're turning a little bit, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll come back to Colossians in just a moment. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. And if you're with me so far, say amen. Amen. All right? I just want to lay a foundation here from the Word of God, and I checked the sign on the way in, and it said Baptist. So I thought it'd be all right to use the Bible tonight. Ephesians 4:22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Now watch this. Some people, they get saved, they're set free, and yet suddenly they want to turn back and go into bondage. Jude said, keep yourselves in the love of God. Stay in love with God. Walk in the freedom of Christ. Don't go back to the old ways. Don't go back to the old ways. But walk in the freedom that God has given you to pursue the Holy Spirit's will. Verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And so all of this is by the circumcision of Christ, referring to the salvation of Christ from the heart, changing our hearts, not just the outward man, but changing the inward man. We are renewed in the heart by the Holy Spirit of God. The circumcision of the New Testament church age in which we live is of the heart. And God is interested in people being saved, changed, renewed from the heart. But notice secondly, we not only have a renewed heart. That's the first symbol of being complete in Christ, a renewed heart. But I want you to see the second symbol, and that is a resurrected identity. A resurrected identity, and that is baptism. We have seen the circumcision of the heart, but let's read on to verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So circumcision pictures separation from sin and victory over sin, but baptism pictures our union with Christ. And so here we see tonight in verse number 12 that we're buried with him in baptism. We are buried with him. Sometimes I think in certain cases, certain churches, and we've certainly tried not to do this, but you can take someone to the baptistry waters and miss a great teaching moment. And the teaching moment is not only that they're identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ historically. And we know that baptism is that, we're identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection, and we preached about that this morning. But we also can teach them and should teach them that when someone is baptized, they're identifying with death to the old life and resurrection to the new life. And we ought to be reminding these that are being baptized that you are about to identify with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. You're also about to identify with our death to the old life and our resurrection to the new life, you see. And that's what this verse says. We are buried with him in baptism, and we are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Now turn, if you would, back to Romans real quick, all right? We're going to cross-reference once again Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Because we are buried with him by baptism. That means I am identifying with him. I am dying to myself as I am baptized. And Romans 6 speaks of that. Romans 6, 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. So we were identifying with what he conquered on the cross and what was buried there with Christ. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what kind of life? Newness of life. When a Christian is living in sin, when they're gossiping, when they're complaining, when they're negative, when they're just going through a time of living according to the flesh, that's not the new nature. That's the old nature. And that's why we need to many times revisit who we are in Christ, our identity in Christ. I'm dead to that stuff. I'm alive in Christ to the new nature. I'm dead to that old nature. And the Bible says in verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now let me ask you a question tonight. Do you want to live a Christian life that has stinky grave clothes following you? Or do you want to be a stinky, dead Christian like the maniac of Gadara? Or do you want to be a sweet-smelling Christian living in the newness of Jesus Christ? What do you want at home tomorrow? You want a stinky, complaining life at home? Do you want to have a life at home that's of the old man, burial clothes? Or do you want to have a sweet spirit in your home? I know what I want at Lancaster Baptist Church. The resurrected life at Lancaster Baptist Church. New life in Christ. So we are buried with him. And make sure that you daily are reckoning who you are in Christ. Dead to sin, alive in Christ. One man asked George Mueller, they said, George Mueller, what is the secret of your happiness in the Lord? What is the secret of your power in the Lord's work? And this is what he said. There was a day when I died. Utterly died. I died to George Mueller, his opinions, his preferences, his taste, his will. I died to the world, its approval, its censure. I died to the approval or blame of my brethren or friends. And since then, I have studied only to show myself approved unto God. It is truly a victorious life that is lived when we are dead to self, when we identify with who we are buried in Christ. The old life, the old cares, the old way of thinking is buried, and I am alive in Christ. The new nature that I have is from Christ. So our identity, and don't miss your identity. Don't live according this week to a false identity. Live according to your true identity in Jesus Christ. We are buried with him. Secondly, we are resurrected with him. Now back to Colossians 2, it says in verse 12, buried with him by baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. And I was preaching about that this morning, and I was trying to help all of us understand this morning, hey, it's his resurrection, but it's our hope too, because if he conquered the grave and became the first fruits of the resurrection, that means we one day can conquer the grave and be with the Lord Jesus as well. But even right now on planet Earth, God says, I want you on this planet to know the joy of a resurrected life. Now, there is a word there in the verse number 12. It is the word operation. And it is the word working or efficiency of superhuman power. And it speaks of the ability of God to transform a dead sinner into a living saint. And only God can do that kind of work. Again, man can take a scalpel and man can change the outward. We had a lady, in fact, one of the first families we ever led to Christ down some years ago down near the Salton Sea. And some of you heard me tell the story about how Fred and Alice Riley were saved and how I was preaching on John chapter 3 and I'd really never given many invitations before and so forth. And I was giving the invitation that day and just kind of out of culture, I just said, let's sing Just As I Am. And we were meeting in a little house. We had about 70-some people in that house. I was probably 18 years old. And the piano player could play one song. She played Just a Closer Walk with Thee. That's the only song she could play. So I was leading in Just As I Am. She was playing Just a Closer Walk with Thee. And I'm given the invitation. I'm just having a good old time. And suddenly, this couple comes down the middle aisle. Fred and Alice Riley. And I just kind of waved my hands. I'm looking at them like, here they come. What do I do now? And I leaned over and I said to them, what are you coming up here for? And they said, well, you said that if we're not born again, that we must be born again. We're coming up here to get born again. And I was so excited, and I took them into the back bedroom of the house, and I forgot to tell everybody to stop singing. They kept singing Just As I Am. She kept playing Just a Closer Walk with Thee. It was a mess. About five stanzas later, it kind of petered down a little bit, you know. We went in the other room. I'll never forget when Alice got saved. I went through the plan of salvation, and I said, all right, let's pray. And so she put her hands up on that. We're kneeling down that bedroom. She put her hands up on the bed, and she said, dear Lord, I feel like I'm up on stage getting my Emmy Award right now. And I remember going, what in the world? I've had a lot of soul winning classes. I don't remember that particular prayer. Boy, she confessed that she was a sinner and she asked Jesus to save her. And Fred passed away a few years after that. In fact, after I was pastoring here, and I went down to the Palm Springs area and had his funeral service. And then a few years ago, Alice came up and visited us just as a surprise. And she said, I'm living out by Blythe now. She lives in one of these kind of like mobile home parks out there. And she arranged, she said, Pastor Paul, do you remember when you used to come and preach for us every week? I said, of course, Alice. She said, well, we need a young preacher from your college to come out and preach for us every week out there. That was, I don't know how long, Dr. R, 7 years ago. And every weekend since that time, we've had a student driving out and preaching to those senior citizens all the way in Blythe. And they give them a hamburger and a few dollars and send them back. But the last time we saw Alice before she died, we were fellowshipping about the things of the Lord. And she looked at my wife and she said, just as serious as she could be, now, Terry, let me give you a little hint here about getting older. Not that my wife's getting older, by the way, but just telling you what Alice said. She said, save a little pocket change for some plastic surgery here and there. She said, it'll do you wonders. Just save a little pocket change for it. It's one of those I remember telling my wife later, did she say to you what I thought she said to you? And looking back, I think Alice probably had quite a little bit of pocket change. I'm not sure, but... But there's an operation, and sometimes those operations can help to a point. They can help for a few years. They can sustain life maybe for a little while, and we're thankful for those operations. But the word operation in verse 12 is speaking about the eternal, without hands operation of God to save someone's soul. And what a blessing that by the power of God, we have transferred from death to eternal life. But God, Ephesians 2:4, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ. He has made us alive in Christ, and we are resurrected with him. And God says, that's your identity. You are raised up together. You are made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ. And all I'm trying to tell you tonight is, once you were dead and stinky and uncircumcised of heart, but now you've been redeemed and resurrected, and the dead life is in the past, and we're to live a resurrected life. And if you're in those stinky grave clothes tonight, come to the altar, get rid of them, repent of them, reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to Christ, and live this week for Jesus, alive in Jesus Christ. We're buried with him, we're resurrected with him, and 30, we're alive in him. Look at verse 13. It says, "And you, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh," meaning that they were dead spiritually, all the law could do was condemn them, "hath he," what does the next word say? Say it with me, please. "Quickened together with him, having forgiven you." Listen, without the forgiveness of Christ, we're dead spiritually. But because of the forgiveness of Christ, we're, what's that word again? Say it again. I like that. We're quickened. You're dead, now you're alive. Quickened. And you're saved just in the moment. And salvation is the miracle of a moment. And now we're saved and now we're alive to him. Hey, stuff you wouldn't have ever cared about before, you care about now. You would have not cared about a missionary before. You could have watched all kinds of junk and not cared about it before. You could have said terrible words and not cared. And if you're saved and that stuff's going on, you're kind of alive to the fact that God is in you and you see things a little differently now. You're alive spiritually now. The dead man, he can do all kinds of junk. Like pricking a skin that has been burned. You ever burned yourself on the stove and then you prick it with a pin? You don't even feel it. The dead man doesn't even feel when there's sin in his life. But I'm telling you, when you're saved, you're alive to God. You're alive to the Holy Spirit. You are a resurrected man. You have been quickened. You are alive in Jesus Christ. I heard about a man that visited a very formal church one Sunday. And he said right in the middle of the service, a guy had a heart attack and he died, but the ushers carried out five other guys before they found the right one. You ever get around people like that? They're just that dead spiritually. Hey, how you doing? How's it going? All right. You saved? Yeah. You glad you're saved? Yeah. Tell your face about it, buddy. You ever get around people like that? You wonder, have they ever been quickened? And I know life is tough, and boy, we go through times when we're not sure about things, but I'm going to tell you what, the one thing you ought to always be sure about is, once I was lost, now I'm found. Once I was on my way to hell, now I'm on my way to heaven. I'm alive in him. We were dead, but now we're alive. Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's what we were. We had been condemned. Charles Wesley wrote the hymn, "No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine." Listen today, if you're saved, you're alive in him, you are resurrected, you have been baptized, that means the old life, you're buried to it. That means the new life, you're resurrected to it. Don't let the devil get you in the grave clothes this week. Live for Jesus Christ this week. Three symbols of completeness. First, a renewed heart, not with the hands of man, but with the operation of God. Second, a resurrected identity. And thirdly tonight, a removed penalty. A completely removed penalty, not a partially removed penalty. How many of you thank God for the grace of God tonight? And were it not for grace, we'd be lost. And not just in the saving grace of God, but in the sustaining grace of God. And the Bible says in verse 14 these words, as we conclude tonight, "blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us." I don't know about you, I don't like stuff that's against me, do you? But those ordinances of the law that were being put in the face of these Christians were just saying, "You fall short, you fall short, you fall short." Which was contrary to us and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So we were being accused by the ordinances of the law, and we were being accused by the devil, and we were guilty because we fell short of God's glory. And so what did God do about that? First of all, he removed the penalty. And the Bible says there in verse number 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. Now notice the word handwriting. It means a record of debt. And the word ordinances speaks of the Mosaic law. And it is to say that there was a penalty that I owed, but Jesus Christ has stamped paid in full on the debt. And he paid in full, and the debt has been blotted out. The Greek word here, obliterated, erased. What sin are you talking about as far as the east is from the west? God has removed the penalty of your sin and mine, and we are saved by the wonderful grace of Jesus, and there's nothing the devil can do about that. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us, not from some sin, but from all sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And all of the law and the ordinances that said nothing but guilty, 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 guilty. Now the Bible says forgiven, forgiven, forgiven because of the power of the grace of Almighty God to blot out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against me. I was lost and without hope in sinking sand and on my way to hell and the devil and his demons against me. But thank God Jesus lifted me up out of the miry clay and he put my feet upon a rock and he said, my way of going in a straight way. I'm a heaven bound, resurrected, fully alive child of God tonight. By the grace of God. Galatians 3 and verse 10. For as many of us, and for as many as are the works of the law under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not. Listen to this. In all the things which are written in the book of the law. I get tickled with the Seventh-day Adventists and some of these other groups that they think they're going to go to heaven by keeping the law. By not cooking on Sunday and by worshiping on Saturday, by trying to keep parts of the Old Testament law, they think they're going to make it up into heaven. Now, I got to tell you something. The Bible says there in Galatians 3, if you miss one point of the law, you're guilty of all the law. If you're trying to get to heaven because of, you know, how good you are, then you're misunderstanding the wonder of it all. Thank God for Psalm 103 and verse 12. For as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. You see, the removed penalty. So verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. But now notice this, not only is there a removed penalty, but there is a remaining sacrifice. A remaining sacrifice. And I want you to see it in verse 14. He took that sin debt. He took that penalty. He took that bill that you could not pay. And he took that ordinance that said you were a failure. You were a loser. You were on your way to hell. You didn't deserve heaven. And Jesus took all of that. And Jesus took that sin debt. And he nailed it to the cross. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all of our sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ is speaking, saying, forgiven, forgiven. The bond of a written contract could be annulled by the blotting out of the names, drawing lines through it, or driving a nail through it. And that was the vernacular of that the first century Colossian church would understand, that something that had a nail driven through it was annulled. It was no longer damning. It was now that you had freedom because of what Jesus Christ did. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. Don't tell me Baptists don't understand grace. Were it not for grace, we wouldn't be here tonight. We wouldn't be on our way to heaven tonight. Were it not for the grace of God tonight, we would be of all men hopeless. And the fact is, the best of us, with our nicest suits and King James Bibles, still have an old Adamic sinful nature and still need the blood of Jesus Christ from time to time, speaking out and saying, forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. Hey, if it wasn't for grace tonight, you'd still be lost and on your way to hell. Thank God for the grace that has been extended to us, not just when we got saved, but since we got saved. By the way, some of us ought to extend some to some others too. How many of you understand what I'm saying? None of us are perfect. We ought to be as gracious as we can to others in their time of growth. I heard of a man that went to the doctor complaining of pains, and he had pains everywhere. The doctor examined him and examined him. The doctor said, I just can't find really anything wrong with you. The doctor said, it must be stress. Just looks like it must be stress. And another man came in last week, the doctor said, and he had similar pains. And I discovered it was due to stress from a $10,000 debt that was owed. And he said, I recommended that he just forget everything about ever paying the debt and get on with his life. And that guy felt great afterwards after I told him that. And this man said, yeah, I know, but I'm the guy that lent him the $10,000. Now listen, we owed a debt that we couldn't pay. And Jesus went to the cross and he paid the debt fully. Romans 3:26, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth on Jesus. I want you to understand this tonight. God loves you. You are complete in him. We ought to be here in church tonight and read our Bible tomorrow so we can know more about him because we love him. But listen to me. We're not here tonight to get more complete. We're not here tonight to get more forgiven. And we're not here tonight to get more loved. You can't be more complete, forgiven, or loved than the moment Jesus saved you. You know why I'm here tonight? Because I'm so glad he did. I just want to be with his people and with his word. And I just want to sing praise to his name because of what he did for me. Oh, my friend, if you ever get to that place where you're like, oh, I've got to be at church, I pray that you'll say, Lord, renew the joy of my salvation because I want to have the joy with you. You see, in all these things of this life, we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. I'm persuaded, Paul said, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Next week we'll pick it up with this thought that he has spoiled principalities and powers. You see, on that cross, he didn't just conquer your sin and mine. He conquered the devil himself on the cross of Calvary. And as my dear friend often sang, Dr. Curtis Hudson, we are on the winning side. And don't you live like a defeated maniac of Gadara this week, running around in your old fleshly grave clothes with your old gossipy tongue and your old stinky ways and your old lying ways and your old drinking ways or whatever it is that old life is to you. Don't live in the old life, but live like someone that's been quickened, alive in Christ. Let's have a live week, a resurrected week for the Lord Jesus Christ, shall we? Let's stand together. Father in heaven, we stand and we pray and we give thanks. We thank you that you have given a circumcision not made with hands, but made of your spirit. And we thank you that you have raised us up to newness of life. And we thank you that you have nailed the ordinances and the penalty of the ordinances to the cross of Calvary. And we thank you that your forgiveness still speaks. And that without your grace, we would be hopeless and helpless. Father, there may be some tonight who are living the life of a Christian that's dead. Oh, they're saved, but they're going back to the old burial clothes, Lord. Help them to walk in newness of life as you intended it this week, with joy and rejoicing in the wonderful grace of Jesus. And if there's anyone here that's never experienced that grace, I pray tonight they would come and be saved and trust in the blood of Christ to cover their sins. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If this message has helped you, we hope you will share with a friend or family member. We always love to hear from those whom God has changed through his word. Share your story with us at lancasterbaptist.org/contact.